This morning, I want to share with you from Joshua chapter 3, as you've probably guessed from the reading. Just want to say first that I'm so glad to be back. I had a great 3 weeks, probably had the best class of students that I've ever had, and it was great. But I was talking to Wendy, my wife, on the phone last night and said, you know what, I'm just excited to be back at Arendelle tomorrow and preach. So even though it's great being away, it's so good to come back too. So let's pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks for your mercy and for your grace and for the time that we have together to worship you as your corporate body. I pray that you would bring life to the words that I'm about to speak, that only the truth would go forth and only the truth would be received. And I ask it in the wonderful and glorious name of Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to introduce you to something. It's called an African Impala. It's a kind of like a deer. You can switch that now. Yeah, it's kind of like a deer. It's an amazing, amazing animal because it can, from a standing stop, jump up about 10 feet, 3 meters, straight up. It can jump at a distance of about 10 yards or 30 meters. I'm trying to be politically correct here today. Use both. But here's the amazing thing about this African impala, is that it will not jump when it cannot see where its feet will land. So here's this impala that can jump this huge height, jump this large distance, but in most zoos, it is kept in an enclosure with a 3-foot wall. Why? Because it can't see over the 3 feet. And so it can't see where it's going to land. So it just stays in this enclosure, even though it should be able to jump now and jump right over the wall. And this is a little bit where... Can I move around now? Okay. Yeah, there. Thanks. I can't stand still very well. And so this is kind of where the Israelites were in the story that Marilyn just read. They are at the Jordan River, and they had to make this decision: are they going to jump into the unknown, or are they going to stay where it's safe? Difficult, but safe. Were they going to have faith, or were they going to continue to live as they had for the last 40 years, so much in unbelief? And faith is this ability to trust what we cannot see. We trust in God even when we can't see it. And it's faith that frees us from this cage of fear that we are so often locked up in. The question is that I've asked myself so often, and my guess is some of you have too, is how do we become people of faith? And how do we become people of faith and have a faith that pleases God? Well, Joshua is this exciting book, one of my favorite books of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, sorry. I did go to Bible college. Of the Old Testament. And it's all about faith, about the victory of faith and the glory that it brings to God when his people will, as we just finished singing, when his people will trust and obey. You see, in the Christian life, all of us are faced with two choices. We will either be overcomers or we will be overcome. We will either be victors or we will be victims. God saved us to move us forward by faith, to claim this inheritance that we have in Christ. And I love the way that Moses says it in Deuteronomy 6:23, and he, God, brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to our fathers. So God brought us out of our sin and brought us into this place where we might receive the inheritance. And so we need to go on, but the only way to go on is by faith. You see, unbelief says, let's stay where it's safe. And this is what the Israelites were facing. Faith says, no, let's go on to where God is working. Let's go forward. 40 years earlier, you may remember the story, Joshua and Caleb had gone in to chart out the land, to spy it out, and they came back and they said to the people, it's great, let's go in. And the other 10 spies who had gone in with them said, no way, Jose. We're not going in there. There's giants there. Now notice that Joshua and Caleb never once denied there were giants. They said, yes, there's giants there, but God is bigger than any giant. But the people didn't listen, and they allowed unbelief to rule over Joshua and Caleb's faith and the faith that they could have done too. And so it cost them 40 years. 40 years of being disciplined by God by wandering around in the desert. And friends, God has not changed to this day. The principle of faith has not changed. What has changed, I think, so often is the attitude of God's people. Sometimes I wonder, do we even trust God at all? There was a book written a number of years ago, and I forget the author, but it was called Christian Atheism. And basically what it was saying was that as Christians, we say we trust God, we say that we believe God, and yet by our actions, so often it doesn't appear that we do. It appears that we don't believe at all. And I think that's what's happening so often in our culture today, in our Christian culture. We fail to live by the grace of God. And so we don't enter into all that he has for us. Again, God brought us out so that he could bring us in. I think too often, too many Christians' motto is to keep from failing, don't try. To keep from failing, don't try. And I think that's what many of us do now, is we're so afraid of failing that we don't act. Those who are willing to make mistakes, those who are willing to risk failure, are ultimately the ones who will achieve great things for God, because they're not going to be controlled by fear in their life. They're going to be willing to step out and to step out in faith. They see problems as challenges. And all those challenges, all those problems may not be solved, but they would rather live with the reality of unsolved problems than to sit still and do nothing. They would rather live with the reality of the ups and downs in life and the suffering and all those things that happen in our lives. They'd rather do that than risk doing nothing at all. Someone said this, the man who does things makes many mistakes, but he never makes the biggest mistake of all, doing nothing. Doing nothing. I want you to imagine that it's 100 years down the road. And of course, we're all long gone. And you're buried in the graveyard, and it's been abandoned, and there's trees and all these things growing in there. And one day, somebody decides to chop their way in, and they get a machete, and they start cutting their way in. And as they do, they come to your gravestone, and it says, here lies Dan Pope. Well, yours will probably say something different, but here lies Dan Pope. And at the bottom, you know where they have the little inscription? It says this, he made his car payments. Friends, is that really what we want to be remembered for? Do we want to be remembered first and foremost because we made our car payments? No, I'm not saying that making your car payments is a bad thing. Or do we want to be remembered for having accomplished great things, or at least tried to accomplish great things for God? So in Joshua 3, we see these two essentials, two things that we must have if we are going to be people who live a faith that pleases God. The first one we see in verses 1 to 13 is the talk of faith. The talk of faith. Where the American and Horseshoe Falls meet, the Niagara River drops down 180 feet in this massive waterfall. And leading up to that, of course, the rapids are nasty. They're fast. There's lots of tricks in them and whirlpools and that kind of thing. But the amazing thing is that further up, the river is actually quite pleasant. People swim in it. They boat in it. They fish in it. All of those kinds of things. But then as you get closer, where the Welland River runs into the Niagara, there's a walkway that goes over the whole river. And on the pylons of that walkway, there's two signs. One says, "Do you have an anchor?" And the next one asks, "Do you know how to use it?" We have faith, but do we know how to use it? Or is it a faith that we just keep to ourselves? And to build up that life of faith is Joshua and the leaders were talking up the talk of faith to the people of Israel. Again, just trying to put ourselves in their place for a moment. They're traveling from Shittim to the Jordan, and they must have been wondering, what in the world were they going to do? How are we going to get across? They couldn't swim across. They couldn't find ways to ford around it. There was no way they could build enough boats to get everybody across. And they're wondering, what is Joshua going to do? How is Joshua going to get us across this river? And then, just to add to the what in the world's going to happen, they sat beside the Jordan for 3 days, watching this huge river flowing by. 3 days, and Joshua and the leaders never said one word. Imagine the fear and trepidation that must have been building up in them. Before they actually got to the point of the crossing, of stepping in the water, their faith was built up as they heard over and over and over again from Joshua and from the other leaders the talk of faith. And this talk built them up enough that they were going to be ready to take the steps of faith that they would take later. They were being prepared for this absolutely phenomenal, monumental step in their history. And they were being prepared for it by the way that they were being talked to. In verses 2-4, the leaders built up the people by giving the order that they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant of their Lord. Now, keep in mind that the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God to the people of Israel. So what they were really saying is God is with us. Just follow His presence. Follow Him. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant, that phrase is used 10 times in this one chapter. In chapter 3, 10 times. And then in chapter 4, which is sort of a continuation of the story, it's used another 6 times. So over and over, 16 times in 2 chapters, the people are being reminded, follow the presence of the Lord. Follow the Ark. And this would have been a great encouragement to them. A great encouragement to the people that God was with them. They had abandoned Him over and over and over again in those 40 years. They had turned away from Him. And yet here is the leaders saying, yes, God is with you. Follow, He's with us. Follow His presence. He's guiding them to this way that they had never been before. Were they willing to cross, even if they couldn't see where their feet were going to land? And then Joshua gets involved. And in verse 5, he continues this walk of faith, or talk of faith, when he says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He's building them up. Tomorrow God's going to do wonders among you.
He encourages the people. He builds up their faith by telling them this. And this word wonders, it refers to an awesome event, a wonderful or awesome event by which God makes his power visible. And so what Joshua is saying is, tomorrow you will see the power of God at work if we walk the walk of faith. In verses 7 to 8, God himself gets in the action, and he speaks directly to Joshua, and he builds faith in his heart. And God tells him, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Now listen to this, that they might know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, do you think that might have built up a little bit of faith in Joshua? Here's Moses, the greatest leader in Israel to that point in time. And they had seen how God had used him over and over and over again. And what does God say? He says, I am going to be with you, and the people will see that I am with you as I was with Moses. Can't you imagine the overflowing faith that must have come into Joshua's heart to say, wow, God is with me to the point that he was with Moses? That's awesome. And think of how that would have built up his faith and his courage and his strength. And then after he hears from God, after God tells him, I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses, after all of that, he now goes back to the people. And what does he do? He again encourages their faith. He speaks to them. They haven't done anything yet, but he speaks to them and he builds up their faith. And throughout the message in verses 9 to 13, Joshua never once mentions himself. He never once says, here's what I am going to do. Here is what I am going to lead you to do. Just follow me and I will. He never does any of that. Instead, he builds up their faith by telling them not what he will do, but telling them what God is going to do. And he even goes so far as to say this. Even though he's saying, I'm speaking to you, but he says, come and listen to the words of the Lord, your God. So he's saying to the people, God is speaking to me and I'm speaking his words to you. It's not me, it's God. In verse 10, he reminds them that their God is a living God. All the nations around them worship these false gods. They worship the idols. But he says, not us. We're God's people. He's chosen us. We worship the living God. And then again in verse 11, he points to the Ark of the Covenant of all the earth. He points them again to the presence of God. And he reminds them that all of this, all that I am sharing with you, is to build faith in your heart and to build faith in your life, to cause them to grow in faith. Doesn't glorify himself, he glorifies God. And he tells them about all that God is going to do to bless the people of Israel. He's saying, if you want to have strong faith, do not keep your eye on me. He's saying, if you want to have strong faith, you keep your eye on God. Because he's the faith builder. And he's the one who is the source of our faith. So don't get the idea that as you're reading this verses 1 to 13, don't get the idea that Joshua is leading like a religious pep talk or an inspirational message. That's not what he's doing. He's reminding them of who God is. He's reminding them of his promises, and he encourages them to trust in him. So that leads us to an obvious question, doesn't it? What kind of talk do you talk? What kind of talk do I talk? Do our words encourage faith and trust in God? Or would we have to be honest and say, no, my words probably really encourage more unbelief or discouragement? in prayer, in our study of the word, do we allow God to talk to us? Do we allow God to build faith in our lives and our hearts? Why? So that we can build faith in others. In our works, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches. Do our words point people to God? Some of you know that I went through a two-year, very, very painful church conflict a number of years ago. A number of things that I would do differently. And one of the things is directly this. I allowed my fear and my pain to make me a discourager. And instead of speaking words of faith, I far too often spoke words of discouragement. And what are we doing in our congregations, in our family, in our places of work? Are we so negative and discouraging that we actually destroy and tear down people's faith? And again, what words do you speak to yourself? Now, you may not know this, but some of the doctors here will verify this, that if you use this one special MRI and they shine it into your mind, your brain, you know what they find there? A tape recorder. Well, some of you don't know what that is. A USB or a CD, something like that. And every last person on the face of the earth has that in their brain. And it plays 24/7. It plays so often, so long, and it's been such a part of our lives that we don't even know it's there. But it's the words that we say to ourselves. So what tape plays in your mind? A tape that helps to build faith in you? Or a word that actually helps to tear down your faith? I can or I can't. Which one goes more in your mind? You see, the talk of faith is so important. But we want to focus on the talk of faith for the second reason. We want it to build us up to the point where we are willing to take the walk of faith. It's not enough just to talk the talk of faith. But are we willing to actually put that into action and to walk that walk of faith? Joshua 14-17 says, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at a dam. The city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down from the Sea of the Arabah, toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry land until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. See, for 13 verses, they're building, having their faith built up by the words of their leader and their leaders. And now what we see is that has come to the point where now they'll actually take the steps. They'll take the walk of faith. And so we're reminding ourselves constantly, reminding others of who God is and the promises he made to us. But we must take that next step and say, I'm going to step into the Jordan. When you read Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, and you read the names of these people that were considered worthy of this hall of fame of faith, one of the things you notice is that they were all people who did something. They didn't just talk about their faith, they actually walked their faith out. And it reminds us in James 2:26 that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And so Joshua and the leaders and the priests and the people did not stop with the talk of faith. They moved into the walk of faith. Now, during most of the year, the Jordan is about 100 feet across. It's not overly deep. But during the spring flood season, it overflows its banks, and it is about a mile wide. And that's where they are. This thing is about a mile wide, this huge river. And remember, for 3 days, they've had to stare at it. Maybe not even be able to see the other side. They had to stare at it and wonder how God is going to get them across. Imagine what they must have thought when Joshua came to them and, building up their faith, said, we're going to walk through the river. I'm sure there must have been the odd person that said, pardon me? Or started laughing and said, oh, that's crazy. I thought you said we were going to go through the river. And I'm sure that there would be some that would say, wait, Joshua, wouldn't it be better if we just sat here till the river isn't in flood season and we could just walk across easily? Couldn't we just wait until we could just walk across at its deepest, at its most lowest level? Wouldn't that be the smartest way to do it? Why are we going through it? And so even though their faith had been built up, don't you wonder if maybe some of them were still kind of thinking that? And so they were told to stay about 1,000 yards or so behind the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests as they carried it. Now again, let's put ourselves in their place. And you're here, and the Ark of the Covenant, 1,000 yards ahead, and you're walking, and they're getting closer and closer, and they're 100 feet, and the river's still flowing. And so you follow, and it's 50 feet, and it's still flowing, and it's 40, and 30, and 10. 10 feet, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They're right at the edge, and it's still flowing. Even after these days of the talk of faith, what were they thinking? Were they saying, what's going on here? And then, the priests stuck their feet in the water. And the water just parted. And step by step, the water parted more and more and more. A miracle of God in response to the faith of the people. And beloved, the reality is this. Unless we are willing to walk the walk of faith, unless we are willing to step out and get our feet wet, we're probably not going to make a lot of progress in our walk with God. We're probably not going to grow in serving Him. When Israel crossed over the Jordan, it was the obedient feet of the people. The obedient feet of the people that allowed God to open up that river. I wonder, when I stand before God and He plays back the DVD or whatever it will be then of my life, I wonder how many times there are going to be, because they're going to be there. I wonder how many times I'm going to discover that God wanted to do things in me or through me, but He couldn't because I wouldn't walk that walk of faith. He wanted to do it. All I had to do is put my feet in the water, and I wasn't willing to do it. We received Christ by faith. There isn't a person who's ever been born or ever will be born that will deserve the relationship that they have with God. It's all by faith through grace. We know that God wants us to share our faith with other people. But it's scary, isn't it? But do we walk that out in our faith? Do we say, I know that God has called me to do this, so I'm going to do it no matter how much it scares me? We know that God calls us to serve him and to serve one another. But do we do it? In faith, do we do it? Do we step out and say, I am going to serve God? I'm going to serve people in my church or outside my church, but I'm going to be a person that serves. We know that God says he will provide and bless us if we will just give financially. But do we step out in faith and do it? The Christian life, beloved, begins with faith. It continues with faith. It grows with faith. And if we want to be people of faith, then we must begin with the talk of faith. That we talk to others, that we talk to ourselves with words that build faith. But we can't stop there. We can't stop there. We must continue on. And talk of faith has a specific purpose to enable us and to prepare us for the walk of faith. And when we do that, when we step out in faith, trusting God, even when we can't see where our feet are going to land, but we step out in faith because we trust him, I believe that we will see him do wonderful things in our lives, that he will do wonderful things at Arundale Alliance Church. If we will say, God, I have no idea where my feet are going to land, but I'm going to follow you.